Fake do raisa, shen is galgel lios safek derabbanan. So I'm always interested in what I call klolei psak, you know, the rules of psak. So the title caught my eye. Life has been a little bit challenging lately. So kasev b'shulchan aruch. So if you can open up to Siman Yudalid Sif Hey. Ubar shahotzi ever, v'nesar ha'ever. So we're talking about what's called ever menachai, and normally shechita removes the iser ever menachai. But the one exception to that is an ever that left the body of the mother. So we're talking about shechitas ha'em mahani labas, which means that when you shech the mother, we have a principle called ubar yerech imo, so the shechita for the mother animal is meaningful for the fetus as well. We don't need a separate shechita for the fetus. Again, we have another concept called ben pkua, if the fetus lives and so forth, whether it needs shechita, but generally speaking, we could say that the fetus in its mother's womb does not need a separate shechita. It's huter agav shechitas imo. However, the exception to the rule is a case of ubar shahotzi ever, that the ubar, extended a leg or whatever it might be, v'nesar ha'ever, and that ever becomes an ever menachai, and it's no longer subject to the heter of the shechitas ha'em. Okay, now achakach nishchita ha'em. So he shechts the mother, and he removes the fetus, the uber, from its mother's body. Varehi nekeva. We'll see why that's significant. But in any event, what we have here is a kind of a mixture. On the one hand, the ubar is not nevela because it had a shechita from the mother, but on the other hand, there's a certain aver here which is called aver menachai. Now, the reason why we're mentioning the female gender of the ubar is because that ubar now could give its own milk. And what's the status of the milk of this ubar? On the one hand, the ubar bichlolus is muta agav shechitas imo, but on the other hand, it has a certain aver that is aver menachai. So the mechaber paskins hacholav shela osu lishtoso hoil v'hu ba michlal evarim. In other words, it's if the milk is produced by all the evarim as a constellation, the yeshba aver achas aver echad osur, one of the avarim is osur, so that aver produces the milk no less than the other avarim. Again, we're not talking about bittel over here, not yet at least. Is hareza kechelev trefa, the mechaber compares it to the cholav of a trefa. So you have a mother that has an internal injury, and if you shech the mother, you would not be able to eat the basar, it's trefa. But now, instead of shechting the mother, you extract the milk from its udders, and that's called chelev trefa. That's called yotze min ha'asar asar. So whatever comes out of a trefa is also considered trefa. And even though the species of the mother is a kosher species, but nevertheless, insofar as the mother is asur, because it's a trefa, the chalav is a chalav trefa. Now you take this chalav of a trefa, and you mix it up with chalav shera. Now let's assume there's no bittel, or let's assume, like Rabbi Yehuda, that min bimino afil bielaflo bottle. So you have now a mixture of chalav trefa, which is asur, with chalav shera. And this is the way the pedagogical method of the Mechaber to convey to us why the Cholov of this Uber Shotzi Eiver is Osir, because basically, you know, X amount of the animal, X number of Evarim produced this Cholov, and those Evarim are Mutarim, but there's one Eiver that is Osir, and that produced Cholov. So the Cholov is like a mixture in such a way that there's no bittul. So now we have the Shach. The Shach, quoting the Bach, says the following: Im hoya shishim bibehema bibasar gidvat somas kenegida ever ha'asur. So I guess it's easy to evaluate the size of that Eiver. It wasn't hidden from our eyes. And the size of the Eiver, which extended itself outside the mother's body, was 1/60th of the rest of the animal. Now I'm not sure what he means, the rest of the animal, but he talks about basar, gidna, tzomos. Anyway, we make the tire calculation, and it turns out the Eiver is less than 1 to 60. And now we have the milk. Kol acholav mutter, says the Bach, the acholav you're allowed to drink, the whole mixture. Mishum dahavi kitaroves iser veheter shebetela b'shishim. So according to the Bach, if that Eiver has a ratio of bittul vis-a-vis the rest of the body, the basagina tzomos, then the cholov itself that's produced by this nekeva is mutter, and it's batul b'shishim, and he compares it to a case of a taroves of iser v'heter, right? You have milk of a trefa that got mixed up with milk of a kshera. And if the ratio is shishim, then it's bato. Again, you have to know more about Rabbi Yehuda's sheet about min b'mino, but let's leave out Rabbi Yehuda for now. V'toma lov ha-shach. D'mi omer shacholav mishaveh. How do we know that the milk is produced equally mikol ha-ivarit, by all the organs of the body? Dilma, perhaps, may ever katan, who mishave harbe yoser, may ever echad gadol mimenu. So again, I don't know the physics of it. You know, you'll have to Google this, but let's just give the shach a little rope over here. Let's assume that such a thing exists in the physical universe. So you could have an ever katan, relatively small, but yet it plays a more active role in producing the milk than other Eivarim that are much larger than this Eiver. Again, the physics I don't understand. But what the Shach is going to say now is that we have a situation of a Sufek Bittel. V'imkein li'olam ein cholav shel iser batel. We're not able to apply the din of Bittel if we're not sure that the ratio is 1 to 60. Because of a Shach, apparently the Shach still wants to take a stab at making sense out of the Bach, because the Bach himself would have figured this out on his own. Ula yesh lomar, diafim eno ela safek im yesh shishim, keneged oso ever, mikomakom, kevon ditaroves acholov, havi min bimino debatome at Torah berov. Ah. So he's going to invoke the Shitas Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda, and those two Shitas, Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, go min ha-kotze el ha-kotze, from one extreme to the other. Rabbi Yehuda says min b'mino afilu b'elef lo bata, and he derives that from Parshias in the Torah, and the Chachamim hold just the opposite, that min b'mino is batul b'rov, and the whole requirement of shishim in min b'mino is only a rabbinic requirement. So he says the following: that the Bach understood that no matter how you set up the ratio, you know, and whether this Aver Katan could play a more substantial role than an Aver Gadol in producing the milk. But the bottom line is, we definitely have a rove. There's no doubt that the Aver Katan plays less than the major role in producing the Cholov. And although it may play a role that goes way beyond its size, you know, instead of being 1 out of 60, maybe it's 1 out of 20, I don't know, but nevertheless, it's 40 against 20. And therefore, the requirement of shishim in a min b'mino mixture is only derabbanan. Is memeli yesh lahakil bo mishum de safek derabbanan lekula. Now, he's about to quote a Pisrei Tshuva, but let's just take a moment of time to try to analyze this scenario without the Pisrei Tshuva, just on our own. Initially, in terms of this Taroves, we have a Safek Isa Doraisa. In other words, this Aver, which has the status of, let's call it Aver Menachai, or you could call it Trefa if you like. So that Aver produces Cholov. If, let's say, I'd be absolutely convinced that the Cholov was a result of this Aver, was produced by this Aver, that would be an Isa Doraisa of Cholov Trefa. But now, we have a mixture. Now this mixture, on a Doraisa level, no matter how you slice the cake, is batel. So although you started with a vadai isa doraisa of chalav, but now it got mixed up, and you now have a vadai bittel situation, because there's no doubt that the rov is produced by the avarim gedolim, right? Not the aver that's us, the avarim that were hutar b'shchita sa'ein. So now you're left with a safek derabbanan. So again, you started with a vadai isa doraisa, but now you have a safek isa derabbana. Why? Because you're not sure if there's shishim, but you know that min b'mino is batel berov min haTorah. So at this point,
why are you saying that an aver produces the milk and not that the cow produces the milk?
Now, I think this little fetus, you know, grew up and it became a larger animal. That's
that,
I think,
that
what he said.
That animal as a whole is mutter b'shchita. It's a kosher animal. The only part of the animal is the Aver Menachai part.
Right. That's the only part that's problematic.
Now, as far as we know biologically, it's the udders of the cow that produce the milk. Not the foot that came out first. Why would that be an assumption that it's the aver that is producing the milk and not the cow, which is a kosher cow? That's a far-fetched svara to me.
So look, you're assuming that the udders of the cow produce the milk. I don't know. If you're right, then I have to close shop right now.
Forget the udder part. The cow produces the milk.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
Okay? And the cow, at the moment, is kosher.
Except for one aver.
Except for one aver.
Right.
Does that one aver make the entire cow treif?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay.
But the Cholov, if the Cholov, if Lu Yitzuyer Elio Anovi would tell us, Mina Shemayim, that one Aver produced the milk, that would be Cholov of a Trefa.
But we can't, Elio hasn't come yet.
Right.
And we can't make that assumption. We have to make assumption that the cow produced the milk.
Right.
Not that we're going to say that maybe all that milk came from that particular Aver. To me, this score is very, very far.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, that's why I tried to point out before, I don't know if you heard me, that you'd have to Google this to figure out the physics of it. I can only tell you, in order to, our goal is to sort of ascend to the conceptual worlds of Klolei HaPsakia. You know, we want to know what happens if an Issa started as a Doraisa, then we have a Safik Drabanan. I'm just guessing, Rabbi, that if we would Keilu, if we were to Google this according to Shach's presentation, what we would find is that every part of the cow produces the milk. You and I would have said it's all proportional, you know. So conceptually, my first reaction would be that the Bach is 100% correct, that if all the facts on the ground are correct, this would be a Safik Derabbanan. That would be my initial response. Correct, that we're left with a Safik Derabbanan. Because again, on a Doraisa level, we have here a definite rov, and min b'mino is batel b'rov. That seems to be the rub of the of what's going on over here. And the Bach says, since min b'mino is batel b'rov, therefore, if I have a suffix shishim, and in the worst case scenario, I see what happens. Ooh. Wait 1 second, let's just think about this. So again, if it's somewhere between Rov and Shishim, no, the Bach is right, because if it's anywhere, if the ratio here is anywhere above, you know, above Shishim, but it's still less than Rov. So in the worst case scenario, we're only dealing with an Issa Derabbanan. Just trying to figure out if we, you know, just give me another second here before, I don't know what the Bach is, what the Piskei Tshuva is going to say here, but is there any way that we can object to this Bach? In the worst case scenario, even if there's no Bittul B'Shishim, nevertheless, it's Bittul B'Rov. But the Cholov comes from what? Comes from what? The Cholov comes from the other Evarim. What are you going to tell me? But maybe it's not Shishim, but I know it's Rov. Since I know it's Rov, Safik Drabbanan is Lekula. So let me just point out one thing here. I don't think it's relevant to the presentation based on the topic, the title, but there's another subtle point here, and that is that in Min B'Mino, it's not X, it's what? What's X that's being rejected? It's not that the Chachamim completely undermined the halach of Bittul B'Rov and they replaced it with a Bittul B'Shishim. Meaning, you could have two roves. You can have a rove of 51%, or you can have a rove of less than 2%, right? 98% plus. So you could have said, I'm just telling you, this is not the approach, but you could have said that what the Rabbanan did was they changed the nature of rove. It's not like a Gzera Drabbanan, where we say, well, you know what, if you eat milk with chicken, then tomorrow you're going to eat milk with meat. Then that's not what's going on over here. What's going on over here, you could have said, again, this is all with a minus sign before it, that what the Rabbanan did was they suspended the entire operation of Rov. And they said, we will not recognize Rov. We require Shishim. Our Rov is Shishim. And in that case, I wonder whether or not a Safik Shishim should be considered a Safik Derabbanan. Because once the Rabbanan completely undermined or neutralized the power of a Rov and they substituted Shishim, then I don't think you could say, well, Safik, maybe if there would have been, you know, not Shishim but this Rov, I don't think you could say such a thing. But let's operate within the framework that's given to us, and apparently that framework is that Chazal in the requirement of Shishim did not undermine the halacha d'oraisa that is rov. They just wanted to be machmir as an isud rabbanon and require Shishim. In a case where we don't know if we have Shishim, and it's a mixture of min b'mino, then we could be makel. This reminds me of a Rashba that we once discussed. Does anybody remember the Rashba? In the case of Salik, you remember that sugi of Salik? So what did we do? We had a mixture of min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino. And we were able to be misalik the min b'she'eno mino, which didn't have shishim, and we were able to be mavato the iser with min b'mino. Does anybody remember that Rashba? It was called Salik. But that Rashba also, I think, is based on the same premise that the Rabbanon left in place the halacha of bittul b'rov. They may require bittul b'shishim, but they still very much recognize bittul b'rov. Anyway, let's go on. The ayin b'pischei tshuva sham sifkaton gimel. So if anybody happens to have a yoredei in front of them, we're in Simon Yudalid, and we're in the pischei tshuva sifkaton gimel. And he quotes a Mishnah L'melech. He doesn't tell you exactly where the Mishnah L'melech is located, but anyway, it's probably in Hilchos Macholos Asuros. And the Mishnah L'melech is upset with this Shach. Why? Because he has a Mordechai at the end of Chulin. And the Mordechai says in Chulin, D'lo Shayach Bittel, El b'davar shahaya nikar b'fnei atzmo b'tchila v'achar kach nis'arev. So there's stage number one, stage number two, stage number three. First you had Heter and Iser, that's stage number one. Number two, they got mixed up together. And at this point, you can identify the Iser, you can identify the Heter. That's called Kol Echad Nikar B'fnei Atzmo. And then, as a result of this mixture, at some point, T3, you no longer could identify each element in the concoction. The Iser B'fnei Atzmo and the Heter B'fnei Atzmo. That's called Bittul. Masha Einken, says the Mordechai, Im Hoysa Tchilas Brioso Bitaroves. Oh, fascinating. It's something that from the very moment it emerged as an entity in this world, Hare, in such a case, there's no Bittul. Hare Hocha Tchilas Brias Acholov Hoysa Bitaroves Shal Isa Vehetu Kain Hechi salkedak shacholov shenis ava machmas ever osu ye botel b'shara cholov shol heter. So again, the Pischei Tshuva is quoting the Mishnah of Melech, who's in turn quoting the Mordechai. The Mordechai says that if you have two substances, one is iser and one is heter, and noldu biyachad b'tchilas priyosom, that from the moment that this entity came into existence, they existed side by side, the iser and the heter. We don't apply bittul. And we would have to work very hard to understand why not. My impression is that bittul, according to the Mordechai, means that you pit one force against the other. So you started with something that's asur, and now through the taroves, you add an element of heter, and that heter now attacks the isur. But if both of these emerged b'tchilas b'riyason, then that is the way God created the universe. You know, there is both the Iser and the Heter. So in this case of Cholov, therefore, asks the Mishnah Melech, since the Cholov was created both as one element of Trefa and one element of Heter, we have Mitchilas Briyason, a Taroves of Iser and Heter. Now there's no battle here between the two, because they live, you know, under one roof. They sort of, Zev, Zev, the keves, the kvifachas. You know, that's how they live together in the natural habitat. So how then can we apply, asks the Mishnah Melech, according to this Mordechai, how can we apply the principle of bittul in chalav that was from Tchilas Briyaso, a mixture of both heter and iser? V'tiretz al zeh, no de Yehuda, de shiny hacha, de mairi bittul b'shishim, de mahani, mipnei sheshuv ein tama iser nirgash beheter. Ubechai gavna afa Mordechai mode the shapir misbatel af davish etchilit shemitchilas b'yasa aisu b'tarovis. Wow, this is powerful. I'm absolutely nispoiled from this note of Yehuda. The note of Yehuda says that the Mordechai is only referring to what we call bittul b'rov, and even though this rov heter against the miyud of Iser, nevertheless the Mordechai says there is no bittul. Why? Because the Iser and the Heter emerge mitchilas briyoso. But when we get to bittul b'shishim, that's a different kind of a bittul. That means that the tam ha-Iser is not nirgash b'heter. So if I drink this milk, again assuming that there is shishim, then what I'm drinking is the taste of the Heter. There is no taste of the Iser here. And therefore the Iser is completely batal, even according to Mordechai. Now again, let's keep in mind that the case of the Shach Bach is a case where you don't know if you have Shishin. So now we're in a very interesting bind over here, because we're really vacillating, we don't know where the bittul is operative here. Let's go through the two possibilities. If we're dealing with bittul berov, which means that this Aver Katon, which is Aver Menachai, produced more than shishim's worth of the milk, but we do have rov, then we have the Mishnah Melech's Kasha. And that is, how can we apply bittul here, since according to the Mordechai, if it's Tchilas Briyaso v'Taroves, there's no din of bittul. Ella what? You now can introduce another element to the equation, and that's bittul b'shishim, because you're going to claim that at least it's possible, although not definite, that the ratio between the trefa milk in this taroves and the kosher milk is 1 to 60. And in such a case, even though the taroves was betchilas briyaso, the Mordechai claim, I mean, you know, the Yehuda interprets the Mordechai as saying that there would be bittul, because that's the power of bittul b'shishim, which is bittul atam. So now let's just think. On the one hand, we know that there's bittul b'rov, but bittul b'rov, according to the Mordechai, is not going to operate. It's not going to help us. It's an exercise in futility. What we need is, since it's a suffix, tarovus b'tchilas b'yosu, we must have bittul b'rov. Shishim. And now we don't know if we have Shishim. Rabosai, l'chora, that's a suffix to Oraisa. Is it not? Because again, when the Mordechai says that unless you have Shishim, there's no bittul, that's a halacha to Oraisa. He's completely undermining the halacha bittul berov on a Doraisa level in a case of a tarovus b'tchilas b'riyoso. And now I'm not sure, do I have rov or do I have shishim? L'chora, then that should be a suffix d'oraisa. Let me just see if he says this in the next paragraph. V'hine divrei ashach, midivrei ashach mevuor, di she'im bevadai leka shishim, neged ha'evar ha'asur, ein lahatir ha'cholam. So if Lu Yitzur, he knew that the ratio of this Aver Asa to this is 2 to 60, right, 1 to 30, then you cannot drink the milk. Okay, that's for sure in the Shach. V'heir al zeagon Rabbi Kiveger, di'ein lahakshos, di'im bevadai leka shishim, adayin sveikahi. Why? Hoil v'din cholov haba mikoch ever hayotze Havi Iboy Delo Ifshite Begemara, which I wonder what exactly is the Gemara vacillating about, but apparently the Gemara is not sure that Cholov Haba Mikoch Eiver Hayotze is definitely Asur. Is there from Kain Adayin Havilon LeMeimar the Sfeika Derabbanan LeKula? So Reb Kveg is about to reject this question, but let's try to understand the Havamina here. What happens is that even if you know there's no Shishim, nevertheless, we can be matir based on Safik Drabbanon because it's Mikoch Evra Yotze. So therefore what? Havilon Lameimer, the Sfeika Drabbanon Lekula. If you know that you don't have Shishim... Ah, I see what he's saying. Now, it's the whole requirement of Shishim in a case of Min Bimino is only Derabbanan. Of course, Midaraisa, it's Batul Barov. And if, on the other hand, let's say I convince you that there's no Shishim in this Cholov, but there's Rov. So you're talking about the Iser of this Cholov is Derabbanan, because you have a Rov. Now, we introduce the fact that the Cholov itself is a Suffolk. So that means, even in the worst scenario, if I assume that this Cholov is Asur, but nevertheless, it would only be an Issur D'Rabbanan. Why? Because on a Deraisa level, it's Batil Barov. So what does the Shach mean when he implies that if I know I don't have Shishim, I can't drink the milk? Says Rabbi Kvega, why can't I drink the milk? Because we're dealing with a Safik Derabbanan, meaning even if there's no Shishim, I have enough of a Rov to apply the principle of Bittul D'Oraisa and therefore reduce this Iser in the Cholov to an Iser Derabbanan, and now I don't know Bechlal whether the Cholov is Asur. So it's a Safik on an Iser Derabbanan. Wow, beautiful Kasha Rebbe Kvega. V'zeh Eino. And he rejects it. Why? The Hadi by the low Ifshitu Bisafe, who suffake the Isu da Oraisa. The Imkain, Sorech la Hachmir Bo. Right, the Gemara is talking about a suffake Isu da Oraisa, and therefore we have to consider it as if it were Osir Midoraisa, which I think is a gigantic premise here. I may be wrong, but I think he's making a gigantic premise that Safik Doraisa is Lechumra Midoraisa. The Torah is telling you that you have to be Machmir, which is a machlokas between the Rashba and the Rambam at the beginning of the Shev Shmaitata, first Shev Shmaitata. Anyway, so let's assume he's right, and Safik Doraisa is us Midoraisa. And now, if we don't know if we have Shishim, so that would be a Safek D'Oraisa. No. Let me say it better. Let's say we know for a fact that there is no Shishim. So if we know for a fact that there's no Shishim, then we're dealing with a Safek D'Oraisa. Safek D'Oraisa, but wait a minute. Let's just think, even if we know that there's no Shishim, but if we know that there's no Shishim, then we have to apply the principle of the Mordechai, and that would mean that there is no Bittul Barov, and we have to apply the principle of Safik D'Oraisa L'Chumra. So the Shach is right, that if I would know for sure that there's no Shishim in this Cholov, then it would certainly be awesome. Ach, Mashiyesh la Hakshos. Sir Kvega rejects that kasha, but he has another kasha. May Acher v'dina cholav who suffek do raisa. In kain af im yesh shishim bibehema keneged ha evera osur mistaber sheish lesar. Why do havi suffek do raisa? Shen is galgil lios suffek do rabbonon. Ukvar helu aposkim de b'chai gavna lo amrinan sfeiko lekula. Penachemol, we're talking about a case where he has shishin. So what's the problem? He has shishim, and it's batel. So even if it's an isa d'oraisa, it should be batel b'shishim. Ah, he's not operating with the node of Yehuda. Achein kvar tiretz al zeh prima godim sham deshaini hocha. Came into Tchilas Priyasa Isa Batarovas and Melo Khoshiv Kisafik do Raisa Shenis Galgil Leo Safik Drabana El Khoshiv Kilaf Mitchila Hoyarak Safik Drabana. I thought I had it, but there's a mathematical conclusion here. So again, let's go over Rabbi Kivega's kasha. Yesh lahakshos me'achar v'dina cholov who suffik do raisa im kain af im yesh shishin babehema kenegida ever os mikomako mistabash yesh lesser. I don't understand. You having, but what happens if you have nevela that falls into a tarovis of shishim shchuta? So the Torah allows you to rely on shishim. So what's he? Afim yesh shishim bebehema keneged ha'ever ha'asur is mikol mekom mistaber sheyesh lesser. Why? Davi sofek do raisa shen is galgil lios sofek derabanan. What am I missing here? Anybody have it? Again, he has shishim in the behema kenegede v'alasar. So what's the issue over here? Right, let's assume that,
if you accept the Mordechai that the slos be also, then it remains automatically osar even if there's shishim.
You mean without the Node Vyuda? The Node Vyuda says that the Mordechai is Moda, then in the case of Shishim, there's no Tam Nirgash, and even the Mordechai agrees that despite the fact that it was Betchilas Priyasa B'Taroves, it would be Bata.
According to the Node Vyuda or not?
So maybe Rav Kiveger is not accepting the Node Vyuda. So let's just see if the Prima Godim accepts the Node Vyuda. He says, Achvar Tiretz Al Zeh Prima Godim Sham. The shiny hocha, the came in the vitrilas priyasa haisa b'tarovus v'melo chashiv kisafeg de oraisa shenis galgil leo safeg de rabbanon. He's not operating with the Node Yehuda either. So why is the prima godim? I don't understand why the prima godim is more lenient if he's introducing the Mordechai that tchilas priyasa haisa b'tarovus. That's a reason Adrad to be machmir. So why is that a tiritz on the kasha of Rav Kiveger? Rav Kiveger was the one who wants to say that in this case we should apply the principle called safek d'oraisah and his galgil is safek d'rabbanon, and therefore we should be machmir. So how does the prima godim say no? We're going to be machmekil based on the Mordechai because it's tchilas b'yosu b'tarovis. I don't clap. I mean, Adrad, if that be the case, that's a reason. More of a reason to be machmir, but again, before we, I'm confusing myself and you by introducing the prima godim. Let's leave out the prima godim. Let's just try to understand Rabbi Kiveger. What is bothering Rabbi Kiveger? What does he mean that we're dealing with a suffik d'oraisah and his galgil leos suffik d'rabban? So again, what happens here? We have this mixture. And now we want to apply shishim. And the Shach says, if we know that there's no shishim, then it's asur. But if we don't know if there's shishim, then we could apply the principle of safek. One second. If we know that there's shishim, If we don't know that there's shishim, if we know that there's no shishim, so the shach says, then it's asur, because now we have an isur doraisa that fell into taroves, and we know there's no shishim. So that's going to be asur. Now Rabbi Kivega says that even if we know that there's shishim, it should be asur. We're not going to apply bittul. We know that there's shishim. Why should it be also? I don't get it. Even if it's doraisa, but it fell into a mixture. Of shishim. Now he's not quoting the Mordechai, as far as I can tell. And even if we were to quote a Mordechai, we say that the Mordechai wouldn't apply in the case of shishim. And the Prima Gonim is the one who's going to argue here and say that we can be mekil based on the Mordechai. What are we missing here in this Reb Kivega? Yeah, I'm wondering if I'm the one who's dumb or this is not written very well. So I never know who to blame the pedagogy on, you know, myself or the pedagogue here. He says, "Imkein af im yesh shishim bebehema, mistaber sheyesh lesar." Rehila posik haigav nalomrin and sfeika dirabana. So what's happening? Nisgalgil, Leos, Suffolk, Terabanan. Maybe he means that we're not sure if there's shishim. I mean, he bolds the word yesh shishim, so it sounds like he knows that there's shishim here. That doesn't make any bit of sense. If he knows the shishim, how can Rabbi Kivega say lo amrin and Suffolk lekula? I mean, forget about Suffolk lekula. We have Allah of Bittul. I don't know. Okay, Rabosa, I'll have to give it some more thought. I was very excited, by the way. It really was moving very beautifully till we got to a glitch. I got to a glitch. It's not Rabbi Kivega's fault. So Bli Neder, we'll see if I can find out what Rabbi Kivega has in mind here. Then we could wrap this up tomorrow. And if not, we'll go back to Masechta Shabbos. I always have that fail-safe here.